welcome to the War Master Podcast, episode 65, with Paul and Barry.
Hello, listeners. Today is Saturday the 1st. It's quarter to 11 in the morning, and we're recording from our tournament.
Nice and lively.
Nice and lively.
And you can tell by the fact that we're recording at the tournament. Sad puppy Paul isn't playing.
Yeah, so there was 12 players, not counting me, old Barry, turned up. An even number means I have to fall on my sword.
You do?
You know, had Skaven, I had planned out a nice happy day for me. For the one day of happiness I'm allowed.
You had plenty of days for me. Every day is a day of happiness with your newborn child, your happy-go-lucky wife. You were out last Sunday playing a tournament.
That's true.
And, the two tournaments a year we run.
Yep.
I think I should get a go at Spare Play one day.
Well, yeah, I suppose. got to chalk someone else into it.
Poor old Paul. So anyway, so we've got 12 players.
Yep.
Our furthest traveller was from York, I believe. That's pretty good going.
Was it? Oh, wow. We should give him something for that.
Yeah. Well, maybe I'll try and find
give him a spot prize.
Prizes up the fucking wazoo.
Yeah.
I mean, there's a term in Magic called expected value. So the expected value of a booster you buy, the expected value of a tournament you enter. The expected value of this tournament for your £10 entry is ridiculous. You get a £10 entry, you get your lunch.
Yep.
And there must be like £200 worth of prizes going. There's more prizes than ticket money.
So, yeah, we have to say thank you very much to KR.
And we have
to say thank you very much to Magister Millistrum.
Unbelievable. And Polar Fox, you've still got some of your stuff kicking around
from the
previous one.
Yeah, exactly. And we should use that. The guys who've travelled the furthest, we should give them some Polar Fox stuff.
Yeah, we will. And we'll make sure we're doing some painting prizes. I brought a light box to photograph stuff. So we're going to do some...
Yep.
We'll post up some pictures of some good armies, hopefully.
Yep.
If I can get that working later on. We've also, for the first time ever, got a video capture facility.
So Twitch!
Well, not twitching it yet. And that relies on the internet, and I didn't know we'd have it. But Jim and Janna's on table one are playing a grudge match on camera.
Yeah.
And later today, I will... tonight or tomorrow, I'll load that up to your YouTube.
Yep.
So hopefully we'll have all three rounds.
Yeah, put it into our podcast, into our YouTube channel. So obviously with that one, they're not talking anything to camera, they're just playing a tournament game.
Yeah, and
there's no hand coming.
But I've seen people do this in tournaments. People just like to watch tournaments and see how they end.
Yeah.
So we'll keep it on table one.
Yep.
So the top players will always be on there. That's most likely going to be Janna's all day. So you'll be able to watch his play style.
His domination. to champion.
In true Janna's style, he took my silver helm cheese list and he did a Bretonian version.
Yeah.
It's like, oh my god. It's like minimum check, maximum knight.
That's what Tony should be. Tony should be that.
Nothing else. So we'll see how it goes. There's no tables that are going to ruin his game, my game.
No, because what I've done, so I've set it all this up, is what I've done is I've set the tables to a very same standard. There's three hills and three woods on every table, and with some other random spot little bits of scenery.
Impassable stuff.
So every table is that way. Now, until we develop some tournament scenarios that perhaps involve the scenery in the sense that, like, get over the bridge or something like that. You know, like, then
hold
this is...
the bridge. King of the hill or whatever.
Whatever. Like, this is how the tournament, like, we want to run. So give that standard out of the tables, which is important, I think. Because it doesn't then, I'm playing on the disadvantaged table.
Okay, so welcome back now. Myself and Paul are running an event, and there's quite a lot of interruptions, so I'm not going to be able to edit this together particularly well.
No, okay, then get it for free.
There may be about 2,000 separate segments, so if it chops and jumps around, then that's just the way it's
going to be. I just had to answer a rules query, which is fine, which is what we're here for.
Exactly. So the recording's the secondary thing, so the tournament comes first. I can't remember what we were up to.
So we're just thanking everybody, thanking the prize for
I suppose, of the wazoo, sir, of the wazoo.
So we should definitely give pot spot prizes out to the guys who come first.
Yeah, and the people who've done the best paint.
Yeah.
And this is the second warmest event in 2 weeks.
Yeah, for some players, for our pros on table one over there.
I think the funniest thing I've seen today is, so far, is our UK champion, who's no longer UK champion.
Yeah, I suppose.
As of last week.
Yeah.
Nick Wakefield. Exactly. He's got a pack of GW40K dice. Have you seen these?
No.
Guess how many dice are in the pot?
Six? Eight?
No. Keep going, fella.
20?
No, keep going.
40?
Keep going.
What?
Yeah, that's what I said. He's got it's like 125 dice in a pot.
Okay, right. So,
Jesus, how many dice do you need for 40? Like, 125 dice.
Okay,
that's right. What they sell them in.
Yeah. Is it? Is that really?
No, I'll show you. Let me go get it. I'll be back.
Bombardment dice? Yeah, but no, he's just filled it with other dice.
No.
Oh, it is 125 of them. Wow.
This is one.
One
big,
roll.
One big roll. Today we're running a three-round event. We're going to use all the winter roller. So three scenarios. Starting off with the easy one.
Yeah.
Then we're going to do the random deployment one probably, and then finish on the crazy objective space one.
Oh yeah, sure. Yeah, that's probably a good way to do it. Yeah.
Because that kind of gets people into the. Because the first game there's enough going on.
Yeah.
People have got to learn about how the scenery works. Yeah. Some people have never used death clocks.
Yeah.
And then we put another layer in with a random deployment. That's crazy.
Yeah. In fact, their clock isn't even running. It's never started.
In a tournament, one of the important things to do is to go around and make sure the tables are running.
Yeah, yeah.
So I'll admit I was a bit slack. I was downstairs having a tea because this is a very
small
tournament.
Is that the
tournament.
Only one that isn't running?
Yeah. But
are you sure?
No.
I'll be right back. Sure.
Well, it's all right. It doesn't make any difference now.
Well, I know there's.
Yeah, but it doesn't make any difference. There's nothing you can do about it.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, what happens in, you have your death clock and then you have a round clock.
Yeah.
Okay, and the round clock is a hard limit on the on the round.
Yeah.
So if the round clock goes and you haven't finished your game, do you know what the result is?
A draw?
You both lose.
You both lose.
Because that means you've been fucking about with the clock.
Yeah.
Because it can't happen.
Yeah, it can't happen, yeah.
Okay, so, I don't know what we'll do. We'll sort that out, obviously.
Let's hope it isn't a problem, like, later.
Well,
if they're the last game playing, we'll have to, like,
it won't be a problem round one, because we've got lunch.
Yeah. So we'll have to address it.
Yeah, like, we'll just sort that later.
Yeah.
But going forward, we need to make sure the clocks are all started.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so we'll drop in and out. We'll talk about random stuff today. But do you want to talk about what we've been doing this week while we're here? Got nothing else to do? Are you too disappointed now we're not playing?
No, I mean, it's a lot of work, really. I mean, I got my Skaven army, like, finished, and now I can't use it. Sad it's me.
We've got another one coming up, haven't we? We've got one day August, is that the one?
Yeah, me and Janice will talk about it later,
Mm-hmm. Have you got a team yet?
No, we'll have to sort that out, like what's been entered. I have to ask Janice what he's got on paper. Mm-hmm.
Okay, so maybe we'll call it a day for this section and we'll come back after round one, discuss the results, and discuss round two. Right, we're back in the room.
Hello.
It is 1:15. Round two is underway. It is meeting engagement.
Yep.
Mm. From the Winter Roller 17, that it is madness. Lots of people were staring blankly into space when I was trying to explain what's going on.
Well, they could have played it.
What this does mean is, even though the round's only just started, like literally, we could get some results really quick. Because stuff goes quicks.
Well, it really shakes up. Because my point is, and listeners would have listened to this before, is like, if you play Battleline all the time, it gets a bit stale. And if you're a dwarf
army... Well, your tactics become a bit known.
A dwarf army especially is the worst for this, because by their very nature they want to castle up. And if you encourage them to do that in a Battleline game every time, it's what happens. Yeah. It's what happens.
Find a hill, stay on hill.
Yeah. Find a corner if you ain't got a hill, stand there. Yeah.
So this really does put the cat amongst the pigeons.
Exactly.
Two orders and you're in.
Pretty much.
Well, but, no, that is it.
Yeah, no. Because
you're 30 apart, orders you're in.
Yeah. There you go. For cavalry, at least. No, and infantry. Yeah.
Two orders.
Anyway, it's good, basically. I really like it. And I know some people will, like, mutter over it, but play it. Try it.
Yeah. What's the worst thing now? You'll either like it or you won't.
Yeah.
We've been talking to Jim and Janice about some potential changes going forward, some alternative scenarios.
Yeah.
It's all good. This thing's not set in stone.
Yep.
So we're playing meeting engagement round two. We'll be playing the objective based game in round three.
Yep. Taking hold.
Which again is a bit of a change if you're not used to playing it.
Yep.
So we'll talk through the results from round one. So round one we had. Oh, we're going to have to work out. So Paul played Dark Elves.
Not me.
Yes. Beat Shane. Played Beastman by 7-6-2, and that was our biggest win. And we had Jeff playing Chaos, beat Nick Wakely, UK champion previously.
Yeah.
Not playing Two Kings, now playing Chaos. And he beat him by 7-15. Stuart, I don't know his surname, sorry. Stuart, one of our players from the very far north of York. Playing Lizardman, beat Chris, who was playing Dark Elves, by 5-7-5. Janna's the man, the machine, beat the Gentleman Jim.
The Gentleman Jim, I like it.
Gentleman Jim was playing Kislev, Janna's was playing Bretonians, he beat him by 5-40, and then Shane Streeting with Orcs beat Andy, who's playing Dwarves, by 4-70, and then the final one is Philip Yules, who travelled up in the car off, brother Phil, playing Chaos, beat Justin playing Orcs by 3-8-5. So the round two matchups are Paul against Jeff, Stuart against Janet, Shane Stream against Philip, Justin against Andy, Gentleman Jim against Chris, and Nick against Shane Davey.
So interestingly, Janet isn't at the top at the moment, but obviously he has to lose a game to not be in it.
So table one, which is going to be videoed live. I did mess up a little bit in that I thought it was running and it isn't. So we missed a little bit of the deployment madness. So sorry about that one. So it's Paul's Dark Elves against Jeff's Chaos, and the video will be available online.
Yep.
Interesting stuff. Paul's busy here trying to cheer himself up by building Gene Stealers. Gene Stealer reinforcements, which my Nurgle Poxwalkers are just going to rip a new one off.
Sadly.
Or the floating bloat drone or whatever it is.
Yep.
That was the one that was really stingy, wasn't it?
Yep, it was.
So, I don't know if we told you that story, but Paul charged his Gene Stealers.
That's right, yeah.
Full Gene Stealers, the four-handed things, the alien rip-off things. So he charged it and he lost 7. Oh, we've got a pause.
Yeah, we're good.
Yeah, good. So we're in a bit of time pressure as well because we've had to turn the fans off. And anybody, any wargamers out there know that what happens when you get like 20 people, because there's a few extras here playing Lord of the Rings.
That's why we live in caves. So,
20 men, hard breathing.
Hard fighting men.
Things get hot and sweaty. So I'm in full conference gear of shorts and pop socks and trainers. All
same.
Got to do it, man. You got to do it.
I'm tempted with sandals, to be honest.
It's so hot. So smoke on this. I live in this for like 3 days.
Yeah.
So we've got to be quick because we've got to get the fans back on. So we were laughing at Paul building his Gene Stealers.
I generally like. I could have bought some Scamalongus paint, I suppose, but like I hate having stuff on blue tacked bases, you know, if I can't help it. So, and it doesn't take much to base these guys.
It's like, I saw your basing. It was just like a little highlight, bit of a dry brush.
It works. Yeah, works. Off they go. Because we're always with basing. If the whole army's done the same standard, same way, it looks uniform. It looks good.
Looks good. I'm going to be taking some photos this afternoon, so I've got my little portable light box. So we'll see how that goes on.
Yep.
We're enjoying round two.
Yeah, it's it is. I mean, the thing is like if I went to a scenario tournament and it had like a scenario pack, I'd read it. Personally, like, that's me.
I'll print it, bring it with you.
Yeah.
All those things are important.
Yeah, I'd read it. And clearly some people haven't.
That happens.
Yeah.
She was saying how the potentially people didn't play the scenario in Stirling.
Yeah.
Because either they didn't understand it or hadn't read it or whatever.
Yeah.
But that happens in all games. In fact, we were playing 40K, the new 40K, with tactics cards this week.
Tactical objectives.
And it got to halfway through the game before I switched off I must kill you all mode.
Yeah.
And moved into I must play objective mode.
Yeah.
Because I was winning on the board, but I wasn't winning on the objective. chips. Yeah, yeah. And you go like, hang on a minute.
It doesn't matter.
I could still lose this game.
Yeah.
Miles up.
Yeah.
So yeah, I think games that do have objectives that aren't just clear the other models off the table generally are better.
Yeah. Because and they're far more, to me, they're just a lot more interesting, really. Like, I will listen to any criticism, but like, it isn't going to change my opinion on this scenario.
Yeah. But this one has less objectives.
Yeah.
It's still just kill them all.
Yeah, yeah.
But we kind of mess things up with the deployment.
Yeah.
Yeah. So we'll talk again after round two. I'll get the fans back on, and we'll talk a little bit at the end. And good stuff. Okay. So welcome back. We're at round three.
I like.
We're playing a bit of
Space Hulk.
Space Hulk. Took a while to set up.
Well, it took you a while to set it up, since you can't count.
It was interesting they had three boxes of it, but it took a long time to work through the boxes. I'm the Marines, obviously.
Yep.
Obviously, and Paul's the Grivlies.
Going to be the Gene Stevens.
Four-handed fox. Yeah. That's where he's at the moment, with his Gene Colt.
Yeah.
Playing the first scenario, I've got little, who's this fella here? Power Fist Dude with the flamer.
Yep. Sergeant with it.
Another Power Fist Dude.
And round three's just started.
Yeah, better talk about that.
Yeah.
That's why you're here.
So, big news, the shocking news, is that Diana's lost his last game. So, yeah.
So they were half a break away each.
Yeah, yeah. And Jenna's lost.
And the victory push difference was zero.
Yeah.
That's so what a humdinger of a contest it was.
Yep.
We had was the guy from London or the guy from York?
Guy from York.
Wow. Came all the way down here.
Yep.
Northern Rampager.
Ruined Janna's.
Hello.
Janna's will not have the fourth shield. The fourth shield will not say Janna's.
Not say it. Yep.
It will say somebody else.
So it's very interesting. So it's like in a tennis match, like tennis grand final, where it's like the champion's been beaten. There will be a new champion.
Federer's gone.
Yeah.
Federer's gone. So in the final we have our two.
Versus Paul.
Philip lost in the final on this same scenario against Janna's last year.
Yeah, but he's got a new opponent now.
Hopefully he's learned his lesson.
Yeah.
And there's no hill.
Yeah. I made sure I set out all the tables.
And he's playing against
Dark Elves versus Chaos for the final.
It's Paul. Yep. All with Dark Elves, Phil with Chaos. And then on the next table with Andy.
It's Shane and Jeff.
Oh. Shane from York.
Yep.
Our long traveller, and Jeff
from TriWiz. Lizardman versus Chaos.
More Chaos. Chaos is the most popular army today.
Yeah.
I'll have to get mine based because it is painted. Yep. I have to get it based so we can see what it's like. And I'm using it in one of our future.
Off the second table, Shane has the potential to also win.
Yeah, there are three people on two tournament points because they've got two wins. The person who wins the event will have three tournament points, and potentially three of them can get three tournament points.
Yes.
But only two of them will or could.
Yeah.
And it may be there's only one of them. And if it's true there's only one of them, then the system works.
Yeah.
And then whoever's got the
three tournament points. That would be the best way, because then there's a definite champion and everybody else.
Yeah, but if two of them get two tournament points, which could well happen, then we have to go to strength of schedule and then victory points.
Yeah.
So we'll do that. So we may have to run around and do
rules questions.
And we're going to do some awards. We're going to have longest traveller, although the longest traveller looks like he might be the champion at this rate, so we might not need to give him any longest traveller.
Then we'll ask for the next longest traveller then.
He's taking quite a lot of stuff. The winner takes a lot of stuff, so you don't need no more.
Yeah.
We're going to do best painted, but that relies on my eyesight and a hot, sweaty room. So we're going to do the have you got painted?
Yeah.
So if you got fully painted, you did it yourself, which would rule me out most of the time, then we'll give you a spot prize. So one spot prize for that, we'll award this round. One spot prize for the wooden spooner.
Yep.
And then the big prizes for the top three.
Yeah.
We'll come back. I'll tell you the outcome of this little Space Hulk game. Hopefully the Marines take it home. This is the learning scenario, isn't it?
It's the first one.
So I guess
it's not easy, though.
It's not easy.
No.
All right, well, let's have it. Yep. Okay, we'll be back. Okay, we're back in the house room thing. We're on the journey back with almost champ Phil. We'll talk about that later.
Yeah.
So we need to talk about Space Marine first. What were we playing?
Space Hulk.
Jesus Christ, that was hard. So I was playing first as a total noob.
A
Like Paul was, I was having to ask Paul how to do anything.
Barry refused to read the one box of rules I wanted
reading
to read.
Reading is overrated. I'm an activist, I learn on the job. So, I was taking way too much time. Yeah. Way too much time. And I was maximising my firepower and setting myself alive with my flamer, which Paul allowed me to get away with once. I mean, who'd have thought that a Marine in Terminator armour dies to his own flamer on a 2-up?
Well, he is when he puts it to his face and fires it. This is what you did.
If, serious now, if I'm a Space Marine Terminator, I've got a heavy flamer, I'm in a world of shit, I'm going to set the room on fire. And hopefully it's not going to kill me. I say, oh, I'll be all right, I've got Terminator armour, you know. 2-up save for the 5-up invulnerable. Oh, no. Anything but a 1 and I'm dead. So that didn't end too well for me. So Mr. Paul picking it up, then we reversed it.
Yep.
And he was showing me his advanced military intelligence tactics.
Yep. Which is not hang around. For the limitless enemies to mass.
So he didn't tell me this while we were playing, by the way. He only
told you to read the damn.
He only showed me this. So I was doing stuff like move forward 1. Open the door, that's 2 actions. Move forward 1, 3 actions. Shoot, 4 actions. Oh no, Paul's like, move forward and shoot, 1 action. Move forward and shoot, 2 actions. Shoot the fucking door off, 3 actions. That's what you're talking about. 4 actions. Move forward and shoot. So he shot like 3 times as often as I did. But I managed to win the game by getting 1 little gene stealer around the back. Yeah. And if just one of those gets in here, it's game over, man.
Game over, man.
And the flamer couldn't go on Overwatch because he'd have blown himself up.
Yeah.
And the flamer got killed and that was the end of the game. But if that's the introductory mission, Jesus Christ, it's hard.
But it always was. I mean, it's an 80s game, isn't it?
Jesus. It reminded me of, like, they used to do this game called Chainsaw Warrior. I don't know if you remember that. It's like a solo game. Oh my god, it was hard. It was just like, shit man, I can't win. Why am I even playing?
Even when I cheat, I can't win.
So anyway, that's the world. But then when we played Space Hulk, it was good, fun. But Jesus, it's hard. I mean, you'd feel hard playing that with your kids, wouldn't you?
You would crush them, yeah. Well, but then,
or they'd just get good.
Yeah, they'd get good.
We haven't got the results on me, because they're in the boot, and I'm in the car with Phil. But the top 3 was Janna's in 3rd, playing Bretonians, cavalry list. Pretty wonky list. Pretty Janna's list.
Yeah, like 11 units of knights.
So
like
you had the minimum
knights and knights.
You had minimum men at arms, which are the foot troops, yeah? 2.
Yeah.
I think you had 3 squires, which is 1 more than you need.
Yeah.
2 ground knights. 8, 9 regular knights?
It was 9 units of knights.
9, and no peg knights?
Nope.
He had a hero on a peg, a couple of damsels on unicorns, another hero and a general. I mean, it was really, it was a lopsided list, but it did well apart from the one game he lost in round 2, and he lost on, the other guy had half a break left.
Who was he playing?
He was playing the guy that won Stewart's, is that right?
Stuart.
Yeah. So Stuart beat Janet in round 2, and he had half a point of break left, and they were exactly even on victory points, to the point. That was pretty impressive stuff. So Janet came 3rd. His name is no longer on the trophy in the 4th position. So there's 4 little shields so far, and the 4th one will not see Alex Janaway.
No, it will say Stuart Blighting.
Well, but Stuart. And Stuart, we'll talk about him in a second. Philip, he was in the finals table 2nd year running.
Yeah, somehow finished 2nd.
And it went a lot better this year than last year.
I didn't blow it, horribly.
Didn't blow it. And the Dark Elf player, Paul, who was 2-0 at that point, obviously, and he was top, I think, at that point. But his Dark Elf do what Dark Elf do.
Yeah, it was half a break point away from winning, but luckily I managed to hold, and then I got the last point on the
scenario. Wow, that was close as well.
Well, he had 2 units of, I think they were archers or spearmen, that charged 1 stand of harpies.
Stand?
1 stand to win, and he did 1 hit. And
so I was like, he got away.
Yeah, the harpies like, okay, full back 1, and they're going to fly. So.
And it was in the front, so he couldn't.
It was in the front.
Oh,
yeah.
Man.
So yeah, I got.
Like a long time ago with a similar thing where I put like a million shots into your gyrocopter and he just managed to float away into the sunset. Bye! Goddamn!
Goddamn!
So well done, Phil.
Yeah, I mean, I did. Yeah, well done, Phil. I mean.
And you were playing Chaos List, and it was a heavy brigade type Chaos List. Yeah,
four Chaos Warriors, two knights, and then Marauders and Marauder Horsemen, really.
And a spawn in the middle of the Chaos Warriors, just to make them even tougher, yeah?
Yeah.
Because that's what they need, in column. The world's hardest brigade, with a spawn in the middle.
Yeah, we needed to cause terror, so... but, yeah, no, it's good. Really enjoyed it.
Well played, sir, and, completely different to your Praetorian list.
Yeah, it was a lot simpler.
Just the face.
As we said about the Dark Elves, they will come a game in every tournament where the Dark Elves just go fucking crazy and eat themselves. And
yeah, two blunders and he took them both, so minus two on his general.
Turns him into an orc, mate. Yeah. You've got an orc general.
Oh, so he didn't choose to sacrifice characters?
No.
See, I have to kill the characters, I can't face it. I'll take leadership 10 on his own, just he'll do it himself, mate. And nobody seems to run that 30-point magic item.
No, that's a waste of points.
Rubbish. You're all bonkers, I tell you. So Phil finished second, and the winner, all the way from York, furthest traveller, was Stuart Blything.
Yep.
Stuart Blything playing Lizardman. Yay.
I don't remember his list being anything particularly, like, different, as in terms of, like, I don't remember anything standing out. I checked all the lists, but, like, to pretend they're accurate, but I don't remember his list being all that stands out as good or bad.
I talked to him round one just to make sure he understood the Divine Guidance errata and stuff, but he said he'd only started playing since that errata arrived, so he didn't know there was a non-errata version of Divine Guidance. So I think he had just minimum Saurus, which is like a definite difference to me because I take eight of those crazies. So four Saurus, four Skinks, two Croxagore, they are very good Croxagore, four Cold Ones, and twin-linked Carnosaurs. So two heroes, two Carnosaurs, two swords. That's a lot. That's probably five attacks and terror in each, and you're not using them for command, so it doesn't matter where they are. So there you go, well played, Stuart. You came down from the North End, took the prize, and now you can go back up to the North End with your prizes. Well played, you. So and now we're off for our curry. It's 6:30. Curry time.
Yeah, totally. Yeah, it's all good. Yeah, I think the event went really well, personally.
There was a little bit of a blowback on the scenarios, but there always is.
There always is.
Because people don't read them. Yeah. And then when you're explaining them, they're looking at you like you've just grown a second fucking head. It's like, this is what the scenario is, man.
I think the takeaway, like, of the lesson learned as an organiser is just people just will not read whatever you give them.
Exactly.
Like, they won't read it. Like, it's like, you're playing this now, and it's like, what?
But before I became a house husband, I used to have a rule in business that was like, if it's longer than one page, I don't want to see it, mate. I don't want to see it. One page, that's it. Just condense it and take the words out and make it a page.
A soap, summary on a page.
Yeah, I haven't got time to read more than a page. Jesus, man.
And I was talking to Jim and Alex, or we were, like, about other scenarios, and it'd be good to play test some, see what we can come up with.
Oh, definitely, but I think if you know what the scenarios are and you've played them in advance, they definitely change up the game.
Yeah.
I'm not saying they're perfect, I'm not saying there isn't things we could do to produce new scenarios, but they certainly make a more varied game than just Battle Line.
Exactly, because we have like we're trying to put a standard of scenery on the table, like a mountain of scenery, then your three Battle Line games, if you're a static defensive army like Dwarves, can be very samey. It doesn't really, whatever the opponent's doing, you're doing the same things.
Yeah.
Like, you either like surround yourself, or you put yourself on a hill and like castle in, or you go to a table corner and castle in. Because if you don't have a reason to attack, and you get one of those games in Battle Line, but if you don't have a reason to do it, then you're just standing there waiting for the opponent to come into range.
What if we had a third scenario? I'm not sure we'd even bother with Battle Line necessarily.
No, the way I would do it, Barry, is that you'd have more than you need and you're randomly, you never play the same one twice.
Yeah, but I've said that we can't do that at the moment because you could tell people haven't read the scenarios. And even getting round one underway with a new player and some other. Yeah, you know, it's just impossible to try and bring all this stuff in round one. But it worked well.
I'm, pr- pretty happy. I mean,
there were no death clocks.
Yeah, I had to make the last game finish because we needed to get out of the venue.
But no game's finished on death clock, which is a really big thing.
Yeah,
so there's no field mats there. It forces people to play quicker, which is good.
Yeah. Well, Phil, you were playing. Did you ever feel not enough time?
No, not really. I did in the first game, but I did have plenty of time. It was just a bit of a panic, but yeah, I finished with like 15 minutes left.
Yeah, so bags of time, really.
The other two were fine,
So, yeah, I mean, that's the thing, and this goes to go, and people say 2.5 hours shared between you isn't enough time. Well, I think you're wrong.
Let's get rid of the Black Ink miniatures, because, we only got about 15 minutes, maybe not even that, until we're home. So, Black Ink miniatures, Kickstarter is 1, 2, 3, on its fifth day, and it's gone a bit crazy, to be fair. I was expecting it to do similar to the first one, but it's already exceeded the first one in the first 4 days. And not only are the Mammoth Riders and characters and characters on Mammoths, now they're Yetis and Savagekin, who are mutated, mad-looking ogre buggers. And then we're almost, we're only 100 quid away from a giant. And I know that everybody says there are a million giants in the world already, and that is true. I cannot
argue. There's a million and one.
There's a million and one. But I will guarantee you don't have a giant that looks as fearsome as this. It isn't going to be some scrawny, lanky-looking thing carrying some signpost to a town. He's gonna be some meaty man thing that will tear you apart with his bare hands. He doesn't need any weapon. No, his hands are his weapons, man. He's just gonna rip you apart. Yeah, so that's what this giant's gonna be. And then if and when we fund the giant, then I have to pull the whole of my phase 3 Kickstarter, which was due to launch in October, into this Kickstarter, because I've run out of things to do. So that's a brilliant...
What a pain to have.
It is a pain to have, sir. So we're going to have to do some greenlings and maybe a greenling shit launcher or rubbish launcher.
In greenlings we trust.
That's it.
About a demon lord.
Yeah. No demon lords. And because Paul's so keen on greenlings, he's going to be in the greenling unit.
Yay.
There's going to be a little Paul, little bald-headed Paul at the front. And he's going to be pointing his greenlings forward.
Can I be poking my nose?
If you want. You'll have to look really closely because they're going to be small, man. You're not going to see much of them. But if you haven't seen the art, my artist Christian's been working his socks off to produce art, and it looks amazing. So well done, Christian. And that's it. I'm not going to talk too much about Black Gate Miniatures. That's it. It's done. If you're interested, you can go find them. You know where they are. Okay. And then what are we going to do this week, Paul? Are we going to play a game?
Yeah, well, if you want to, it's all possible.
Okay, one more thing I need to say is we've recorded the games, you may not know that now, and they're going to be released on the YouTube, and you can watch those if you like.
But obviously those games don't have commentary going on, they don't have hand panning, they're just set up to record the top table at the time.
Yeah. And that's kind of, it's not for everybody. I mean, I'll be surprised if many people watch them at all, but it's there. It's a permanent record.
Yeah.
It doesn't cost anything. Or like a podcast. Bizarrely, you can put, I'm going to put 15 gig of video on the net, and that's free to put 15 gig of video on. But to put 50 meg of audio costs you $120 a year.
So it's cheaper to put on YouTube.
Well, it's free to put on YouTube. You can actually get paid to put on YouTube, but we do a podcast, and that's what we do.
Yeah.
So that'll be us. I'm not sure there'll be another podcast this week. I'll try and get this out maybe tomorrow, maybe Monday, and we'll speak to you soon.
See you later.
Good night. Bye bye.
Phil.
Bye.
So a little bit of a bonus episode. We recorded some stuff on Saturday.
We did.
But we're sneaking a bit in today, because we're probably not going to play again this week, and certainly not going to record again this week.
No.
Me and Paul just played another game of 40K.
Well, you could say the rerun of the first game, in the sense that, because you had to play a game system new for us once, just to understand, that's what it is. So I reworked my...
That's what I was struggling with the old Space Hulk, you know?
Yeah.
So I was rewriting that the
second time around's better, but so I reworked it and brought it to the table and had a go.
So you amended your tactics? That was good.
Just how the what it is in the list.
Oh, like, yeah, the deployment and stuff.
Yeah.
There's a funny video Christopher shared. Do you see it? Like the Father Ted?
It's little and far away. Yeah. This cow is little. The one in the field is far away.
Yeah, I like that.
So it's like Paul retooled his army.
Yeah.
Brought a bit more armor piercing stuff.
Well, reworked the squads to be balanced. Because, like, the last game, I was probably playing with some models I shouldn't have had or whatever. It's like, you know, I got it worked out, basically, properly. Like, with the collection I had. I have.
Mm-hmm. And the ambush rules are pretty scary.
Yeah. They were a bit outclassed, but it's okay. I mean,
and your big gene stealer, I don't know the name.
Patrician.
Tall Typhus, a new one.
Yeah, which is good. That was the real only plus point is that I managed to take off this fancy special character with my Patrician.
He was good. He was good. Although, my Land Raider ate everything again and took no damage again.
But I don't think I don't really have an army that can put it out.
But this is what we're talking. This is just a heavy choice, a transport choice.
Yeah,
it's not super heavy. No. God knows how you play against super heavy.
But a Land Raider was always like that. Should really be the biggest thing and the biggest vehicle, shouldn't it? In regular 40k. I mean, I know you can have anything you like, but a Land Raider is meant to be a meaty,
a dominant piece.
Yeah, a dominant piece.
Yeah, it certainly was.
It always used to be. It used to be the biggest thing.
The funniest bit for me today was that Paul managed to get on one of my floaty blobs with his hammer dudes.
Yeah,
my mutants,
which are like, they got a right tool for the job there. They can
power hammers.
Do a lot of damage.
Spent his command points to get them to attack first.
Yeah.
Did 9 wounds.
9 wounds, yeah.
9 wounds, and I just made 7 5-up saves.
Yeah.
And I did 2 wins, and then that was the end of that.
And
floated away in blue.
That was more important because with the tactical objectives, it was objective I wanted to go for was kill a flyer, which they are. So I was like, it meant something, and Barry just completely spiked the dice.
So there was a lot of piss taking. The model bases don't seem to mean anything, so I just deploy by pouring my stuff into an area now, moving it by just chucking it in a blob.
You could genuinely play this game with some movement trays because it doesn't actually matter there's no coherency. So if you were like, literally, I'm not surprised you get this. So if you've got a movement tray, which was the tightest formation that squad could be in, because it doesn't.
There's no area effect weapons.
So if you're in like a kind of a formation like I'm just building on the table here, where you peel the models out.
And they're just like glued together, the bases effectively. In the smallest formation they can be glued. That's it. Yeah. I'm just going to get bases and glue them together.
So this is
my squad. Here it is.
Well, and
squad of glued bases.
Yeah, and in terms of these games mechanics, that's exactly right, yeah. Because it doesn't matter anymore. All it matters is the closest point of that squad. Yeah.
I mean, in Age of Shitmar, I think they don't even have bases, do they? You can pile them on top of each other like a circus, like a pyramid act.
I
think you measure from a point on the model rather than the base or something.
Yeah. So it's how much you can abuse this game system.
It's still relatively fun though.
It's fun. I mean, the thing is, Barry, is it's quite right. We have fun whenever we're playing. We'd have fun playing Snap.
I enjoyed snapping your Patrician. with my bolt guns.
Yeah, because what I've just built on the table here, that would work for you.
So it's not covering much area, is it? That's
not really.
Of 20 men.
Yeah, it's just a little tight packed.
Blob. It would all fit under a 4-inch AOE if they still existed.
They still existed, then you'd want to spread them out.
Anyway, so we played 40k, it was good fun. And now we're going to talk, because Paul had some stuff to bring to the table.
Yes.
We got a White Dwarf and a Warmaster magazine.
Yeah, the brand new White Dwarf, which is not in the shelves yet. Because you're a subscriber, you get these things. And it's just interesting seeing...
What's coming?
So what is coming in the world? So they've done... Like expanding the Primaris characters, like the Primaris release with two special characters, well, not characters, just two.
The 22.50 guys!
Yeah, and that.
Oh my god!
Yeah, and that is the thing. So, what they've done is they've put a Primaris librarian and a Primaris captain in their Mark 10 armour, but both these characters are retailing from GW at 22.50. I mean, for one character.
Which, 132 I mean, they're lovely, character.
They're lovely models, but... Well, 40, actually, they put them on 40 bases, these ones. And you get a range of, choices of how to build the model. They're, but they are expensive. But GW's has charged quite a bit for their character pieces, plastic sets.
Yeah, well, yeah. I've never seen.
They have been doing
like
that
before.
And the quality. I mean, I'm sure these models will look fantastic.
That's in America. That's like $30.
Yeah, it's really pricey. And with the rules of them being with the set, you kind of won't know. Like, you can't try before you buy, kind of thing, which is quite clever as well.
Oh, you don't even know what they do.
So the rules will be with these, because these are obviously going to be in some codex, I guess, in the future. But the models for the rules right now will be with those models. Yeah, again, in their little box set.
Okay.
You'll have their little data card. And also you get, there's a new Marine unit called Reavers, which look incredibly Night Lords, actually. like even the face paint skulls and what they're supposed to do.
So who are
like,
Night Lords then?
Well, Night Lords are a traitor legion. That right. Got like ousted from the Imperium even before the Heresy, because they were like too brutal. Like they'd just butcher everyone. But in their view, it was like Night Haunter was very much the view of, look, anyone who disobeys is killed, yeah. And anyone we don't savagely oppress will turn on us the moment they can, which is, you know, inevitable, because like we're a big horrible machine, and it's natural in humans to rebel against us. And he uses a fact against it anyway, and that's what happens with the. So then the Night Lords have these kind of terror tactics, which the cultured Imperium of the time was like, no, we shouldn't do that. Like, we should be more honourable. And there was a confrontation before the Heresy starts proper between Dawn and Night Haunter, who actually come to blow. Night Haunter messes him up, and is like overblows, and that's so the what I'm saying is the Legion was already renegade before the Horus Heresy.
Right.
And these Reavers are like, look like Night Lords, and are like doing the same tactics that the Night Lords would do.
So they were ahead of the game, yeah? Ahead of the game.
So it's like, so you've lived long enough to be their enemy, basically, the Imperium. Like, it's like, that's okay, because if they're painted blue like Ultramarines, knifing people in the back and slitting throats.
It's all fair game.
It's a fair game.
So these guys are going to be in a new little starter pack.
Yeah, and so they'll be sold separately, I imagine, and there's also more Plague Marines, etc. Like, there's including a guy packing a Blight Launcher you might be interested in.
Yeah, well, you certainly need yourself a Blight Launcher, yeah. I guess, if you're going to play the Nurge.
And the Nurge, and then they, like, releasing then, like, them in starter sets and these, new starter sets, like Age of Sigmar has one which has a little bit of scenery and two little forces in it, which is quite a good
of
way
what?
To start.
Forces
of Sigmar Marines and Corny Marines, you know, like in coloured plastic for them both. And there'll be similar sets for them. They haven't actually not out this month, but there'll be similar sets for those guys in 40k as well.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Right, and you've got a Warmaster mag for us.
Yes. So the thing I wanted to talk about. So we've done our results. We published them online, isn't it? And the big news of, we can say, the army books.
Yeah, you know, army books available.
So as of today, it's been put out there on the specialist.
Today being Tuesday.
Today being Tuesday, the 4th. There's a link on the Specialist Games Forum. No, sorry, on the Facebook thing, and probably go on the Specialist Games Forum, of the army books for Warmaster Revolution is out now. So that's the 20 armies that we've worked on there. And we'll, at some point, we'll finish the other three, and that'll be out. But it's out for general release, though. The game now, Revolution, has its rule set, which is available, and its army books, which is available.
Wow.
Which is lovely.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so... well done, Alish.
Yeah.
No, tremendous amount of work. I know that you said thank you to the committee, but yeah, at the end of the day, it's without you, it wouldn't exist. The committee wouldn't exist. Revolutions wouldn't exist.
Yep.
So fair play to you, fella.
Yep, indeed. Thank you very much.
Okay, so what have you got in WarMag? It's 8.
WarMag 8. So I was reading this like while on stag with my daughter.
Stag must be some military term for being up in the morning, yeah?
On Central.
Rather than Central. Getting pissed.
Yeah. Right. Yeah, so I was on stag with the daughter, and I had a look over. I picked this at random off my shelf and just started reading, looking through it, because I intend to, you know, like looking. I'm really doing it to look for scenarios, but this had some very interesting. It's called an article called "A Fistful of House Rules," and I think that this might be something you could put in as optional play in Revolution as well. It'd need a little bit of work because it's obviously written for original Warmaster. But I think it could be good. Anyway, what was interesting was this Warmaster pre-game strategy, where basically your army has a certain amount of command points, strategy points they're called, which is from your makeup of your army, how you get it, like how big your army is and how many characters it has. And you can spend these strategy points on lots of different things, which including, like, because we, like, one of them reminded me of, like, the command dice rerolls here in 40K.
Okay, that's cool.
So, like, you can spend points on rerolling dice, on ambushes, on deployment, on bringing scenery down.
And how many points do you get?
The general's command rating equals 1 point of command translated as 1 strategy point. You get plus 1 strategy point for each hero or wizard in the army, and plus 1 strategy point per 1,000 points. So a 2,000-point army with a Command 9 general has 2 for between 2,000 points, 9 for being the Command 9 general, yeah, plus whatever characters, and plus, say, you've got a wizard and two heroes. So that would be 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14 points.
Okay, so it would help orcs out because you have a lot of characters.
Yes, yeah.
And obviously your elves have the highest.
I mean, each army's going to have roughly the same amount. There's only going to be a
and
few.
And what can we spend them on?
So you can spend them on Alter Fate for 1, which allows you to reroll a single dice roll in the game.
Okay.
And
that sounds quite powerful.
Yeah, yeah. So army can have one of these per 1,000 points. So in a two, you'd have two. You could have two of them in a selection. So basically, on your army list, you would have like my choices of my command points going into a game.
Oh, so you're saying you can't spend them reactively. You have to plan them out.
This is what I've got. Right. You've got ambush with 3 points, where you can set. Deploy, hold a unit back that can be set into a piece of scenery later in the game.
Oh, God. There's quite a lot going on here.
Yeah, that's 3 strategy points. deploy for 1 strategy point, which allows you to push out your deployment zone a bit further.
Okay.
You know, like 10 centimetres. Fortify.
10?
Yeah.
That's quite a long way.
Fortify.
How many times can you do that? Can I do that 9?
But you can't end up. It says here, this is why you need adapting.
Yeah, that's why you need me.
But it's like, it says here, you can't put it more than 20 centimetres close to your deployment zone. Then you've got fortify for 2 points, which allows you to place some linear fortified positions down, which are 20 centimetres long. Basically, putting down a wall, which will, it says, give you fortified. So, oof.
Oh dear.
March or die, 1 point, which allows you to automatically make a command success. Have one of these per 1,000 points. So you automatically
don't even roll. And that's not the first order.
A single unit.
That's not the first order.
Allows a commander 1 automatic success to a single unit once per the game. Hmm.
Somebody seemed quite powerful.
Yeah, yeah. Like, but if you both had them, like, I'm just, this is why it's interesting.
It is interesting, sir.
Outflank for 2 points. So this is, you place a unit off the board and it comes on flanking at a various roll.
Yeah,
which you can also put more into that outflanking brigades. It costs you more points, etc. Reserve, 1 strategy point is a better version of outflank, essentially. Scout allows you to opponent for 1 strategy point allows you to see the enemy's ambushes, outflank, and reserve what they've done. Place of power, 1 strategy point is a terrain feature with some unique rules. Pick ground, 1 strategy point, and then you get to place scenery. Like, you're buying scenery, essentially, in addition to the table.
Okay.
So, like, a hill, a woods, a lake, all cost various things, road, etc. And it's a... So, this is all in Warmaster Magazine 8, which has a Wood Elf front cover on the top front of it. Anyway, that's quite interesting. Now, obviously, then it has terrain rules ideas, which you've already done, so we wouldn't need to, like, incorporate
them. It's good to... Interesting to think of.
Reading them, like, they are the same, except from... I can see...
How do they deal with hills, then? Because hills is the one that always causes the most issues for me. It's
just important to how to represent the hill, to distinguish between the levels, essentially.
Okay.
And, if you're attacking... if you're going up the hill, it's -1 to attack. Yeah, if you're going lower to higher. But it's instead of giving you defended.
Okay.
Yeah. But it has other categories in there. Rivers, states and obstacles, fords, bridges, etc. It has some new magic items. And I hear your opinion on these.
More magic items?
Yeah. Generic magic.
Oh, God. Here we go, sir.
Healing potion. 5 points. Give to infantry, cavalry or chariots. Cancels 1 hit. Basically.
Okay.
Yeah. Power bow.
Better
of,
than a sword of fate.
Yeah. Power bow of Ritsala. 15 points, all but artillery and monsters, gives a +1 shooting attack, range 30 to a stand. Basically. Bates of Sweel, 50 points, goes to infantry. They're driven and back and pushed back 1 centimetre less than normal. Yeah.
How many points?
50.
1 centimetre per dice.
Pushed back 1 centimetre less than normal, except they always be pushed back at least 1. So. you know, when you're getting cap, you're getting bonuses for pushing three and above.
These guys, in combat.
Harder
okay.
to do that.
Right.
Doomshot, 10 points. Seems expensive, that 150. Doomshot, 10 points. Infantry, cavalry, and chariots. Allows turns the one shooting attack that a unit can make once per game in once per game turns into a D3 shooting attack. Use that one stand.
Okay.
So you might roll a 1 or a 2, and it's no better. A shadow weaver's cloak for 75 points, a general only.
Mm.
So once per battle, a general who is with a unit which is destroyed may avoid destruction, and basically disappear off somewhere to another unit within 30 centimeters.
You can be more aggressive with your general,
you
I guess.
You could, but you spent 75 points to do that. You know, like.
For it to work, your general's got to have died.
Yes.
Otherwise, he's not done anything.
Yes.
So,
none of them seemed ridiculous.
And you can't take anything else.
Yeah.
That is its magic item.
Yeah.
So he's not got a sword or anything.
So, I really liked here the rules for elite units, which is customized units. So you can have, basically, there's a set of house rules which allowed you to upgrade a unit.
Right.
You could have one unit in an army, elite unit in an army, so you can only have one of
right.
anything.
So if you've got some Phoenix Guard models,
yes.
and a shoe ornament.
And exactly, this is how it does it. So it gives you upgrades of points for how to upgrade attacks, missile attacks, armor and hits. Also fearless, immune to terror and drive backs, and disciplined, automatic obeys the first order each turn, points there.
How much?
15 points for a infantry or cavalry and 25 points for characters. I guess, yeah, you can't put it on a character, can you? So it's going to be 15 points to make a unit of infantry or cavalry have this discipline rule.
Okay.
And it gives you, and then it gives you examples of these elite units, which was Phoenix Guard are High Elf Spearmen, they're 90 points, they're High Elf Spearmen with +1 attack and disciplined. So it'd be attack 4, and they'd pass the first order that they received. So not the brigade they're in,
mm-hmm.
that's uniquely so, on their own.
Yeah.
You know, and it gives you other examples like Knight's Panther, Knight's the White Wolf, that kind of stuff. But again, that was quite interesting.
I mean, it's a bit weird that you could only have one in your whole army. It's not going to achieve a great deal on its own.
No. And you are, and the points seem quite fair, like as in terms of what you're spending the points to get.
We can look at your Huskarls, can't you? Because you can see how much does it cost for +1 armor.
+1 armor, +15 points for infantry or cavalry, I've read that wrong to you. So the first category is infantry, the second category is cavalry or chariots, it must mean.
So it came out at 90 points right then, didn't it?
So your +1 armor on would be 15 points for infantry. So if they were, so what are we saying, 15 points, Huskarls are 95. Mm-hmm.
Or 90?
No, yeah, 90. 95 points are. But anyway, it's worth looking at. It just gives you
something to look at. Anyway, and it's still, you're paying 25 points for the Chaos Knights to move to 4-up armour.
The Chaos Knights?
Yeah, because they've got 4-up armour, haven't they?
If you wanted to make them armour 3+.
No, from moving like something with 5-up armour to something with 4-up armour,
yes.
You're paying 25 points.
If it's cavalry, yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Or chariot.
Mm-hmm. I mean, it's nice that somebody's done some work to try.
I mean, this is...
It's kind of what you were trying to do.
Yeah. It's because I would have got the idea from somewhere, I'm sure. I don't know when this magazine... Because it doesn't have a date for it somewhere. It must be publication.
Probably like early
2001.
Early 2000s.
Anyway, I floated it on our committee and I was just like, hey, this looks quite interesting. You could adapt this. Obviously in time, and it would only ever be an optional rule thing.
Yeah, 2018, some optional shenanigans.
Yeah, just like, because I'd like, yeah, I want to reread all of the War Master magazines and look for stuff. I'm looking for scenarios. So the feedback from the tournament we had was, I've had no one actually tell me they didn't like the scenarios. I've had quite a few people be positive about the scenarios, and people have said they preferred meeting engagement over the objective.
Yeah, the objective-based ones is slightly more difficult.
Yes. So, Jim was telling us, you should look for more objectives, more scenarios that play around with deployment.
Yeah.
But how different can they really be?
Well, there are 6 of them in this game system. 6 separate deployment systems.
There you go,
the 6 that GW have identified.
Yeah. So we could try them out, see what works for War Master.
Yeah, so we're talking about 40k, obviously, there's 6 new deployment zones.
Spearhead, that kind of stuff. Yeah. But
you've got to be careful to keep the minimum distance away, because
Because I did think of one scenario which would come quite well. Hear this out to me. Okay, so you have your table, you sit down, you do the scouting roll, you choose the table side.
Yeah.
And you place your scouts first. And now, you can place your army, when you're placing onto the table, you can place them anywhere. You know, brigade at a time.
Right.
But you have to be over 30 centimetres away from the opponent.
Right, so somebody places scouts, then somebody places the rest of their army, then somebody places.
If you did it like, so you did their scouts, okay, so you place their scouts down, and your alternate deployments, so it's either brigade or unit. And then, so if you had some scouts as well, I won the scouting roll, I'm sticking my scouts first, like that. And then you'd alternate placing units or brigades, okay. And they can go anywhere, but they have to be over 30 away.
Okay.
It might be
quite fun.
Yeah.
I wouldn't want to play in the tournament necessarily, but it's
nothing we can put down as a tournament until we work out what is a scenario that works well to be in a tournament.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, the ones at the weekend work relatively well.
Yeah, yeah, I know.
Stay with those for now.
I know.
Exactly. New ones.
But like
and varied ones.
We just, you know, we have to, that's what I'd like to do with my tournament pack is find some more workable scenarios.
Yeah. I think, maybe King of the Hill type scenario.
Yeah.
Like defend the hill type thing. Mm-hmm. Rather than the five objectives.
Yeah.
But so one person's like on a hill in a defensive position and then the other person attacks, but they get to put the force anywhere they want.
Yeah.
With, as long as it's more than 30.
Yeah, it's tricky. I mean, the thing is that like, if it's a scenario that most of the scenarios in like in narrative games have an imbalance of forces, which you're not going to have at a tournament. So it's a little tricky because that rules out some things because you're both going to come to the table with the same points level.
Yeah.
You know, so it's interesting. Like there's tons of scenarios out there. It's just which ones can you be robust enough to be recreated on every table for a round and every army feels like they have a crack at it. Like some advance them better than others, of course.
Yeah.
But you know, I interestingly also feedback is it say like I haven't had any negative. I haven't had anyone say like there wasn't enough scenery on the tables, for example. But will anyone say there's too much?
Okay.
Like so, I guess that's about right. The right level. What we did.
I'm sure that's the right level.
Yeah.
For our meta.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Well, that was just a little bonus episode.
Yeah.
You've got to get back.
Yeah,
pick up your dad duties.
Yeah, yeah. So do some lunch, and then I'm off to see Linkin Park in London tonight.
Let's all go for Super Dad.
Yeah.
Weekend out, evening out. Did you manage to meet the nurses on Saturday night?
I did. Yeah.
Oh my God. Yeah. Right.
I went out about 10:30, but yeah. Okay. I was there for a few hours. Bouncers in Chelmsford are just ridiculous, aren't they?
I've never been out in Chelmsford.
Yeah. Man, they're so.
I moved in my 40s to Chelsea. Where am I going to go out?
Yeah, it's true. But they are, like, they're like, no, he's not smart enough or he's too drunk enough. And it's so arbitrary. Literally, it seems like you could be a legless girl wearing nothing and they'll let you in.
Well, they'd encourage you to come in. Yeah.
And it's like some poor bloke who's like got trainers on instead of shoes. No way. Impossible. Can't even negotiate it. And it's like, so basically, like, they didn't want to let the guy that we were celebrating his leaving do into Bar and Beyond.
But did he not know to wear shoes?
Well, that's the thing. I mean, they just, the bouncer decided that he couldn't come in.
Right.
Like, and it's like, you're by not letting him in, you're going to turn away 20, 30 people's custom.
Just he's not on commission, is he?
I mean, it was busy anyway, but it's just like.
So you didn't get in?
No, not that. We just went to the place next door. It was so stupid. It's just, I don't know why you would be a bouncer. I really don't see the appeal of that job.
Money. I guess, and power.
Yeah.
The power to say, no, you shall not pass.
And just create rules as you see fit. Yeah.
He's got a wonky eye.
Yeah.
We've got all this sort in here.
Exactly. Anyway, okay. That's it.
Well, there we go. Back. So, back next week doing Orc Challenge for me. On video.
On video, right.
Orc Challenge on video.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So there we go. Have a nice week, everyone.
Okay.